Good morning. What do I say? The love of God. I think what I'll do is I'll share what I've been going through. Is that all right? Those of you that know me, have known me for a while, know that my heart's always been for intercession, for ministry. I have a heart for others, what they're going through. Secretly, we pray, all most intercessors. While we don't run up and tell you we've been praying, but we pray. But I discovered recently that a lot of what I have done is to earn love, which is wrong. Well, okay, let me back up. Growing up, I always felt that I had to earn love. I always had to help. I mean, I felt like I had to earn my father's love, my mom's love. So I ran around doing things to please them constantly. And I realized just recently till I discovered grace that told me I don't have to earn, especially God's love. You know, I always knew about grace being unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God. But I never had a revelation. And it's not like I've had a revelation. Let me back up. Because I feel like I've tapped into something, but I have not received the fullness of it. And in my mind, I always knew I don't have to earn God's love. He can't love me any more than he already loves me. I don't have to earn anybody's love. They're already, do you know what I'm saying? It's the love of God in you that'll cause you to love me. But I found myself having to pull back because when I really searched my heart, I said, God, I'm still performing. I'm still performing to earn your love. And because I noticed that, and this is what I did, I quit ministry. I quit ministry. I quit prayer. I quit deliverance, the deliverance ministry. And I sat down and I pretty much said, I need you to show me you still love me. And I can't say that I've received that revelation, but I have found it really hard for my heart to understand grace. Those of you that know me know that my father was very abusive since I was 3 years old. And my mother never showed affection. And my brothers and sisters, we always fought. And the only time we would hear a kind word really, really was a thank you, you know, was when I outdid myself. And most of the time it was ducking, you know, running and nightmares, having nightmares. And so I realized when I came into ministry, even though I heard the words, you know, God loves you, you can't earn his love, I never quit performing. And now I'm saying, God, I want you to bring me to the other side, not where I just know in my mind that he loves me, no matter if I mess up, no matter if I sit and do nothing, which I've been in ministry for 25 years, in ministry behind the scenes. Never went for a title, don't like titles. But everything I realized was to earn God's love. I love you. I want to prove to you, God, that I love you. I got to love you with all my heart and all my strength. Well, if I have to love you with all my strength, I got to give myself to you. And early in the morning, I will rise up and I will praise you and I will worship and I will do whatever I can do because of my insecurities. I've never really learned to rise up. I've always kind of tried to stay behind the scenes, kind of, you know. But anyway, so I don't know if the body of Christ is there right now because I find that as an intercessor, what I'm going through, a lot of people are going through. And so I am right now seeking the love of God without earning it. And I pray that if you haven't had that revelation, that this is a season to know not only in your mind, but in your heart, that you don't have to perform and that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. And it's not like this is what I don't understand. I've done anything. I was a victim. I was abused. But somehow, unworthiness, I guess, was beat into me as a very young child. And even though you hear the word of God, you hear from the pulpit, you can't earn God's love. My cry right now is show me. Give me a revelation in my heart. And I pray for the body of Christ, because we think we know the love of God. If we did, we would be healed. We would be delivered. We would be delivering others. We would be raising up the dead. But we keep thinking we got to earn it. I haven't fasted long enough. I haven't prayed long enough. I haven't loved enough. I was mean. I was rude. I don't deserve it. We need to start getting a revelation of God's love. And I'm speaking to myself. And my prayer is that God show us all. God teach us. He's already paid the ultimate price. But we need to break through and really get a revelation of his love. And know that even though amongst each other we have to earn love and respect, but God's love we don't have to earn.
Amen. It's not easy. So, Father, even right there where she sits, and for all of us, release a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father. A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Because, Lord, as you release that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, we come into an understanding within our heart, Father. We come in, Father, open the eyes of all of our understanding. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding that we may know the hope of this calling, Lord, that you have in us, this invitation that you have extended to us, this invitation, Lord, to come and know of your presence. So, Lord, we thank you. We release the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father, that we may know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, Father. That's Christ in us, Lord, that we may know the riches of Christ in us, that we may know the truth of your word, Father, the truth of your love being said, Father, not just said in our mind, but, Father, said in our hearts, Lord, that love would come forth. And, Lord, we just give you all praise and glory, Father, that we would know the surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe, Lord. Because, Lord, your grace is your power and your authority, Lord. It's a grace and it's a power and authority for us who believe that we might walk out the will of the Father. That we might walk according to your will, Lord. That we might fulfill those things that you have desired, Lord. Not because we were doing so to earn favor, but because we've already received favor. Because we've already received of who you are. We've already received of your fullness and your love. And Lord, the extension of the fullness now becomes the act. So Lord, I thank you for releasing it, Father, over each one of us this day. I thank you, Father, for your word says here, Father God, therefore to gird our minds for action and keep sober in our spirit and fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Christ. So, Lord, we fix our hope on that grace that is brought in the revelation of Christ. Father, we thank you for a revelation of your love, a revelation and a stirring, Lord, of those things that we have not yet known. A stirring, Lord, that we're not triumphing to earn, Father, your favor, that we're not having to earn your grace, that we're not having to earn your love, Lord, but we're walking in the fullness thereof. That we're walking in the fullness thereof. That we're walking, Lord, in that which becomes natural as we understand who you really are. Lord, that there's a natural love that rises up within us as we understand who you are. Your grace, your favor. Lord, they're unearnable. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you decided through the kindness of your will, according to Ephesians, the kindness of your will to release that grace to us. That grace that brings our salvation, that grace that brings eternal life, but also that grace, Lord, that allows us to overcome the obstacles around us. That grace, Lord, that comes, Lord, that we might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Lord. That we might deny, Father, ungodly lusts and worldly desires, Father, but to live out the fullness that's in you. That grace that comes alongside that gives us mastery over every sin, Lord. Because we're no longer under law, but under grace. We're no longer under law, Lord. We're no longer convicted and condemned, Father, by the law, Lord. But we stand under your grace, under your fountain of life. A fountain of life, Lord, that pours down upon us, Lord. Not because we've done something to deserve it, but because you chose to release it. Because you chose, Lord, to shine upon us. Because you chose, Lord, to show us, Lord, something that we could never otherwise understand. So, Lord, we thank you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation this day. A spirit of wisdom and revelation stirring within our hearts, Lord. Stirring within our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you for you keeping us close. We thank you, Father, for that eternal flame of life, Lord, that eternal flame of life called your love, rising up within us, rising up within us, Lord. Let it rise up within us, Lord. Lord, for these things we give you praise. For these things we give you praise. Hallelujah. Since 2 weeks ago, I've discovered something stirring inside of me, and I don't even truly know how to define it. But it is the most purest love that I've ever experienced. And it only is so far as come in brief flashes, brief moments at a time, at different times. But a love so pure, as if it's just a flame within. I don't know. I mean, no, the closest I can discover is that it's a fire within my heart. It's not an emotion. It's not a kindness. It's not a likeness. It's not an admiration. It's not an appreciation. It's a flame. And something about this flame, it erases the need to do. It erases the need for approval. It erases the need to have someone else's appreciation, because somehow in the middle of this flame, there's a saturation of a purity that I've never experienced before. See, there's a place in God where we can begin to know Him in such a way that we no longer have to fear in any way. Because the true love of God is without fear. It's without torment. And that doesn't mean just without torment. It means without torment now and forever. It means without torment because, see, when the true peace of God comes into our life, there's a change that happens. As we learn to trust Him, as we learn to trust Him, the torment comes off. As we learn to walk in the fullness of that love, then the torment does not have a place to have resonance within us anymore. And we no longer need all those little devices that we use to avoid this place of pain. Because seeing so much of what we do when we're looking, and you're looking 1 John 4 and 18, I think, is where it talks about love and all that. But when we truly know the love of God, all the devices that we use to protect ourselves are no longer necessary. Because, see, much of what we do is simply trying to achieve something that we've already been given. Now, for some, that's performance. For some, it's an addiction. For some, it's stepping outside and having to have somebody else's approval constantly. For some, it's to walk in pride, because, see, what the pride is really trying to do is an overcompensation for the insecurity and the fear that's being felt. For some, it's control, because control is the opposite end of extreme insecurities. And so when we become close to that love of God, when we become close to that love that He has for us, there's a shifting of the appreciation, there's a shifting of your value system that happens as a result. And out of that shifting of their value systems, now are the old things that we were doing are no longer necessary. Most of the evil that is done in this world is done because someone's trying to solve some problem within them. I mean, it's kind of hard to think that somehow somebody is so twisted to see that murdering another human being is a way to solve their problem, but that's what's happening. So when we begin to truly experience the love of God, when we truly begin to experience and know this appreciation that He has, this love that He has, this kindness that He's exhibited toward us, suddenly we can walk without that fear. See, that fear comes because as long as there's something in us that's not truly, totally in His love, then there's some portion of us that thinks that I don't have an eternity with Him. That's the real torment, being separated from God. That's the torment that Jesus experienced upon the cross for the very first and one and only time that was ever experienced by Him, was upon that cross when He had to be separated from the Father. That separation was the greatest of the burdens that He bore. But He bore it that you might know and have relationship with Him. That you might walk with Him in the fullness of inheritance, the inheritance of having that relationship, the inheritance of sonship. Sonship! Because no longer, in the place of sonship, no longer do we have to worry about all those other things, because all of a sudden there's a manifestation of His Spirit to be in speaking life into you in every moment, to give life in every moment. When we walk in the fullness of sonship, that's what happens as a result of this love that comes up within. And when we see the purity of this love, when we begin to walk in the purity of that love, all I can tell you is from what I'm experiencing is that there's a shift in the way that I think. There's a subtle shift in your desires. Because see, now my desires can begin to be more and more like Him, because ultimately I see that He has His best intention for me. I don't know how to totally describe it other than it's this flame. And the more that I choose to look at the flame, the more that I choose to look at Him, the purer and purer this love can become. You know, we tend to think about love in terms of all those that we know. And it doesn't hold a candle to what the love of God is. It doesn't even come close. And so what we do when we begin to look at love in terms of those that we know and those that we've lived with or under, we diminish. We don't intend to, but we're diminishing the very love of God. We're bringing Him down to our level instead of allowing Him to move us from glory to glory into His level. Ultimately, at the end, the thing that He's going to look for and wants to know from us is, did you love? Did you love? We can't truly begin to love someone else until we can accept the fullness of this love for ourselves. We can do the best we can. We can do good things. We can do many wonderful things. But we can't release the fullness of God in us without love. God has a fullness to be released in this day, in this hour, in particular. When things get dark, it's time for a revelation of this love. As we come into the place of having a revelation of that love, we can come to a place of having a revelation of His Word and His purpose. There's a sanctification that happens when we draw near. The torment that we receive when we don't love is because it tries to create a separation between us and God. And that separation never existed since the cross. That separation has only been a figment of the lies that the enemy has managed to perpetrate on your mind by the circumstances that you've lived through. She was brave enough to share a little of her circumstances. But you know that every one of us here has circumstances. Every one of us here has choices. And what we do with those choices, what we do with those circumstances, it's not the circumstance that determines who we become. It's what we do with it that determines who we become. When we rise up above it, are we going to be overcomers or not? That's the issue that He's asking us. Are we going to rise up and begin to apprehend the love that He's so wonderfully laid before us? His grace, as we spoke in the prayer, His grace comes so that we might know Him. His grace comes so that we might have a revelation of who He is, but also so that we can walk in the fullness of His life and His will. When He extended grace to Paul, He was extending it so Paul could complete his assignment. Paul wasn't doing that out of a need for performance. He was doing that out of a fullness of his desire to follow after the heart of God. A fullness to fulfill this love that he found. A love that said, I want to be found in Him. Go to Philippians 3 for a moment. He said, I want to be found in you. Philippians 3 verse 4, what he's doing is he's describing his circumstance. He's describing his self-efforts. His efforts at performance. See, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. See, that's us. When we're trying to earn this salvation, when we're trying to earn God's love, when we're trying to earn His favor, this is what we're doing, is we're listing out our pedigree. Say, Lord, You can bless me now because I've done this. I spent 25 hours in prayer today. Think about it. Think about it, okay? But whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and may be found in Him, verse 9. Not having righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That he may be found in Christ. That was the cry of his heart, to be found in Christ. He didn't care whether or not you found him in Christ. He cared only that his Father found him in Christ. He wasn't looking for someone else's approval. He's like, Abba, this is the only thing that matters. If I can be in Christ, the rest of this, everything else that I've done, everything else, all my degrees, all my pedigrees, all the things that I've done in my past no longer matter. Let me be found in you, Lord. We have to come to a place where it no longer matters. all the efforts and all the things that we've done to try to earn His approval are no longer the thing that we bring to Him. All we bring to Him is ourself and our desire for His presence, our desire to know Him, our desire to be in relationship with Him. That's the inheritance. That's the thing that's been laid up for you. Not having a righteousness of his own derived from the law, but the one that comes from faith. Romans tells us that the faith, that we come to him by faith, that may be in accordance with the grace, that the promises may be certain to all. You want to flip over there real quick, just to Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4, verse 16 says, "For this reason it is by faith that may be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not just those who were of the lineage, not just those who were of natural inheritance, but those who came by faith. But to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." When we start coming in by faith in accordance with that grace, then we're coming into accordance with the will of the Father. It's His will that those things are released. It's His will that those things become something that He desires to release towards us and for us. We come into a place of standing with Him. Back in Philippians 3, verse 10. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Being conformed to His death. That's the first thing that has to happen, is that we have to let the old die. That's the process that you've been going through. Letting the old die. Suddenly it has to become not good enough to operate in performance. It has to become not good enough to operate out of competitiveness or envy or jealousy or any other motivation that we might have. Believe me, I've done them all. And I've done some really good things that people would clap and applaud before, and I was doing it out of a spirit of competition. A spirit of one-upmanship. Those things don't count in the eyes of God. He is looking for the intentions of our heart. It is in the intentions of our heart that He can begin to manifest Himself. Because when our intentions will line up with His intentions, suddenly we have a dynamic that can actually go somewhere. When the intentions of our heart are found to be in Him, when our desires are found to be in Him, suddenly it makes perfect sense for us to walk according to the way He would have us to walk. And you know what? When we'll walk in the light as He walks in the light, what does it say? The Word says, if I walk in the light as you walk in the light, then we will have fellowship together. And there's something that happens out of that fellowship together, because all of our sins are forgiven in the blood. 1 John 1:7. The thing that we need, desperately need, is for our sins to be forgiven. The only thing that's ever separated us from the Father. The only real thing that separated us from the Father. Because the thing that separates us most of the time is the lies of the enemy kind of to tell you that you weren't forgiven. And so oftentimes we just find ourselves right in agreement with it. But it's not the case. It's not who God made us when we chose to walk in Him. We have to let that old man die. And as we let the old man die, as those things die off, now suddenly we can begin to respond to the love of Christ in a brand new way. We can begin to respond to the love of Christ and begin to recognize this flame of life that He's put within us, this purity of life that He's put within us, this something that's within us that's purer and holier than anything that we've understood. Then we're no longer trying to compare our love through the eyes of our natural relationships, but it becomes something supernatural. So when we're being conformed to his death in verse 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not having already obtained it, nor having come perfect, but I press on, in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. That word press on there is the same word that he used when he was talking earlier. It says, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. In other words, there's a persecution that has to happen in us that we begin to let those things go and step into the true love of God and become known by Him. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I so often hear this misused. People say forgetting what lies behind, and they use it as an excuse to not deal with their past. Brother, until we deal with our past, we aren't going to a future. Until we deal with the past, until we start dealing and understanding forgiveness and understanding how to release the trespasses, understanding how to let go of those emotions, understanding how to live somewhere besides in the middle of that anger that you've always been in, till you understand how to step out of the place of fear, you're not going anywhere but where those things tell you you can go. If all you've known in your life is poverty, then you can't step past that until you begin to break hold of that past. Break agreement with that past. If all you've never known is bondage, you're not going any further until you get those chains off. It's not an excuse. This verse is not an excuse to not deal with your past. What this is saying is that he was making a conscious choice to not worry about those things that were his heritage in the natural. That those things that were gave him natural access were no longer of any value to him, because those things that were not of anything compared to the worth of Christ. Compared to the love of Christ. All of our works are as nothing compared to the love of Christ. And so when he began to understand that, that's what he was chronicling here. That's what he was putting before you, was the understanding that no matter what it is that you do, no matter who it is that you might be in the natural, none of it matters when you come to the understanding of who Christ is for you and in you. And when you begin to understand it, you begin to see that and begin to walk in that, then this love can begin to overtake. And then this love can begin to direct. And then this love can begin to release. And the possibilities, the revelation, the understanding, all comes as a result. Hallelujah. So he presses on for the goal of the upward call in Christ. You begin to push until you see and understand this invitation that we have in Him. An invitation to come and access Him. An invitation to step into the place of agreement with heaven for who you are. And then as you do so, then it opens up an opportunity for you to come into agreement with heaven over where it is you're going and who it is you're touching. Whose life you can begin to change because you've come into agreement with heaven. Because now you can speak not just out of the wisdom of man, but out of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He tells you to not be afraid. He'll release that word in you and to you. And then through you in that moment. When you walk up to somebody in Walmart, when you walk up to somebody in your workplace, when you walk up to somebody in your neighborhood, all of a sudden, things will happen. Sometimes it's not even you initiating it. I know that I've had drive-by sozos standing out there just going to get something out of my car, and my neighbor shows up and says, I have this friend. And they have such and such and such and such a problem. Well, it was real clear who the friend was. So I said, if this friend was doing this, what would this friend be feeling? And we began to have a little session right there in the middle of the street, under the street light at 10 o'clock at night. And she found freedom. She found freedom from the loss of her brother. She found freedom from the loss of this family. She found freedom from the loss and from the past, and was able to step into where her future was going. Interestingly enough, shortly thereafter, she was able to come to a place where she actually got engaged. And then she moved away. But God had a moment, an appropriated moment for her that came because somebody was willing to touch heaven on her behalf. That's you. That's you. Because you understand, as you understand who God is in you, as you understand this love of Christ, and out of this love, you begin to release His perfection. Hallelujah. He goes on and says, verse 15, "Let us therefore, many as are perfect, have this attitude." Let me just put you at ease here. He's not looking for any of you to be perfect. That word also means whole. As many of you are as whole in Christ, let us go on to have this attitude. Those who are whole in me, let's go on to have this relationship. That's what He's looking for us to just come to a place where we have a desire, and then out of that desire, we begin to walk out the wholeness that we have received in Christ. That's the release of grace. That's the purpose of grace, that we might have a fullness in Him. See, this thing about grace being some excuse to sin, it never was the purpose of grace. The purpose of grace is that we might have a fullness in Him, a wholeness in Him, so that we can deny the ungodliness and worldly lust, so that we can walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Those are the things that He's been looking to me manifested in this earth. And it comes from knowing Him and valuing what He has put before you. Hallelujah. I want to skip you down to one more place here. Verse 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven." Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. He's looking for you to join Him. He's looking to create a heaven on earth in you. A heaven on earth in you. Because see, that's the place where His power is going to be. That's the place where His agreement is going to be. That's the place where the purpose of God is going to be manifested. That's what He's looking for. Hallelujah. God bless.